Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the comfort and support with a new mattress from Serta. Find the perfect mattress for a deep and restorative night's sleep. Take control of your sleep and save big money on Serta mattresses now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Holy shit. I dodged to the right as the demon barreled into the side of the rusted truck. The windows exploded from the force, and bits of shattered glass rained down around me. The blow barely missed me by inches, thanks to my own demonic reflexes. I quickly got to my feet and bolted down the vacant street towards my destination. This time I made sure I had laid my plan out perfectly. I wasn't going to fail this time around. At least, that's what I kept telling myself over and over. I started running at what seemed like an impossible pace. I felt the amazing power in my own legs, which propelled me forward. The woods seemed to rush up to me, quick but clear. I've spent a few nights training with Cal, and with that, I learned how to harness some of my abilities. Now my instincts were practically singing, my body alive with the stretch and pound of my legs. The air rushed through my lungs. Even with the forest darkened, I could still see exactly where I was going. I broke through the trees and spotted the building up ahead. I didn't look behind me. No, because the savage growls and the sound of claws that scraped against the concrete were already pretty good deterrents. So I willed my body to go faster. I found the broken pallet I moved earlier propped up against the wall. The crack in the wall was just wide enough for me to slip through, and I knew with certainty that Cal's demonic form wouldn't be able to fit through the opening. I managed to quickly push my way through, just before he made impact with the building. Cal reached in for me, but I was far back enough that I was safe from being grabbed. I couldn't help but laugh as I watched him move his arm around, and he snarled. He must have caught on to his predicament, because he yanked his arm back. I cursed and quickly jumped to my feet. I sprinted down the hallway and entered the last room on the right, and quickly closed behind me. Light from the moon illuminated the decent-sized area. It was an office at one point, but there wasn't much. Four cubicles shared the space, cluttered with used office supplies, and there was a heavy metal bookshelf near the door with a few old books. I was just reaching for my blade when I suddenly heard the commotion on the other side of the door. I took a few steps back when he tore into the room. He stared down at me from the doorway, and despite me knowing that this was only a training session of ours, Cal looked menacing and downright murderous. "You know," I smirked, "I'm pretty sure I didn't even lock that." Cal growled and lunged at me. I threw my free hand outward, and the force of my power knocked him off his feet. With a soft jerk with the same arm, one of the cubicles rose and slammed into him. He was on his back, disoriented. I will only have one chance, and I have to do it now. I was just about to bring my blade down on him when his tail lashed out. The blow sent me careening backwards. My blade flew out of my hand. All of the air left my lungs as I landed in a heap against the wall. Christ. I felt lightheaded for a moment, and I could have sworn that I tasted blood in my mouth where I'd bitten the inside of my cheek. I glanced over at Cal in awe. I could practically see his energy roll off of him in waves. I only stared up at him, completely stunned.
"I could bring this entire place down on you if I wanted to."
He shoved what remained of the desk off of him and stalked forward.
"And I know you can too. We both know you can do better than that."
"What?" I asked. Cal had worked me harder in the last few hours than our last few sessions. My face felt hot, sweat dripped from my temples, and I could feel the energy that I had moments ago drain from my body. "I freaking threw a desk at you. Let's take a break. We've been going at this for a few hours now, and I need a moment." In a flash, he was right in front of me. He pulled me to my feet and shoved me against the wall. I felt a shiver run up my spine as his lips pulled back, revealing sharp teeth. "What are you doing?" I asked.
"Rake," Cal growled. "There are no breaks when you're fighting for your life. You have to keep fighting, otherwise you're dead."
"Let go of me."
"If you want me to let you go, then you'll have to force me to,"
he said. I kicked out at him. I clawed at him. I struggled violently in his grip like a trapped animal, but he held firm. I screamed with frustrated fury, and my power came roaring out. The remaining desks started to levitate. The books flew across the room and onto the floor. I reached my hand outward. My blade flew into my hand like metal to a magnet. Cal pushed himself away from me before I could take a swipe at him, but I wasn't finished. I reached my other hand upward, and the ceiling cracked above him. The metal bookshelf against the wall tipped over and collapsed on top of Cal, pinning him beneath it. I heard him groan in pain as I pressed the metal into him. His pained grimace turned into a snarl. Looking at him suddenly brought the memories of that night to the surface. Boyd, Shelby, their faces flashed through my mind. I could hear Shelby's voice trying desperately to warn me about Arian Cal before her life faded from her eyes. Something dark coiled itself around me, and I pressed the metal into his flesh. I felt the urge to crush him with it, crush his bones, and break his body. The energy came back full force. My entire being vibrated with power, and it felt absolutely electrifying.
"Gavin,"
Cal groaned.
"Gavin."
The sound of my name startled me, and I blinked before I lowered my hand. I stood over him, with my hands at my sides. I savored the delicious triumph at seeing my opponents on the ground below me, and I smiled cruelly. "You lose." Something wrapped itself around my ankle, and I let out a yelp as I fell back into the remains of the cubicle. "What the hell?" I snapped as I turned to look at the room around me. It literally looked as though a mini tornado wrecked the place. "That's not fair. I totally won this fight." Cal tossed the bookshelf to the side and got to his feet. His tail lashed back and forth, and he shook his head. I glared at him as he shifted back into his very naked human form.
"Fair. No fight is ever really fair. You still need to work on focusing all your power at your target. Otherwise, everything around you becomes collateral. Also, don't get cocky."
I nodded, my breaths heavy with exertion. Then, I twisted around and punched him in the face, hard enough that Cal stumbled back.
"You're an asshole."
Cal laughed and rubbed his jaw firmly.
"And you're strong. Damn, that actually hurt."
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I turned away from him. That felt good.
"Hitting me, or using your power?"
I grabbed my bottle of water from my bag and glanced over at him. "Yes."
"Fair enough,"
he said, and he walked over to grab the bundle of clothes he had on earlier. We pulled up to the abandoned hotel we were temporarily staying in, which was only a couple of blocks down the road. I remember the talk we had a few nights before.
"Here's what I propose,"
Cal had said.
"We will train somewhere secluded. There's a small abandoned town that I've been hiding in for about a week now, and we can use that place to practice your power. And before you ask, we will be the only ones out there."
Without much thought, I had agreed to his plan. I didn't sleep for the first night. I watched every movement that he made around me, but to my surprise, he never once tried to make a move to kill me. I still kept a close eye on him because I was worried about what kind of trouble he could cause if he was left to his own devices. Once I was sure nothing terrible would happen, I decided to relax a bit. I was just unzipping my jacket when the sound of the door opened. Cal quickly shut the door behind him with a grimace on his face, favoring his left side. I spotted blood on his clothes, and some of it dripped on the floor. I asked what happened, but Cal ignored me as he made his way over to the window that overlooks the parking lot.
"Grab your things,"
he said, his eyes focused on something outside. Then he turns to me.
"We need to leave."
"What's going on? Is that your blood?" I asked. I reached out to grab my bag. My charm slipped from underneath my shirt and dangled from my neck. "Did they find us?" The rest of my sentence was cut short when Cal reached over and grasped the charm from around my neck and snapped the chain in two. He dangled it in front of me with wide eyes.
"Where did you get this?"
he asked. "It's a charm. It was given to me for protection. Can I have it back?" Cal cursed and shook his head. He then placed it between his teeth and crushed it. I made a sound of protest after he spit it out.
"That wasn't a charm, Gavin. That was a tracker."
"A tracker? That's ridiculous. Why would..." The rest of my sentence died in my throat as Cal slumped against the old bed frame with a pained grunt.
"I'm not lying. I spotted one of them a few buildings down. Ripped his damn head off. But he shot me with a suppressor."
Cal pulled his shirt over his head. There was a gunshot wound on the side of his stomach. Dark blood oozed from the small hole.
"I probably won't be able to shift for a while. I need to rely on your power for now. I need you to remove the bullet."
I stared at him. Despite him bleeding out, Cal managed to look impatient.
"What are you talking about? What do you think I could..."
"Time is a factor, Gavin,"
Cal said. I bent down next to him.
"Oh, God, this looks bad. Are you sure you want me to do this?"
"Gavin."
Shit, okay.
I placed my hand just above the wound, and after a second, the bullet flew into my hand.
"I got it."
I dropped it and wiped my fingers against the bed sheets. The wound on his stomach immediately began to close up and clot the second the bullet was dislodged. Cal groaned and steadily got to his feet.
"That really sucked, but that definitely helped,"
he whispered as he grabbed the chainsaw sword from his bed.
"Follow me."
I only nodded and followed right behind him without further question. Cal opened the door and peered through the crack.
"Do you see anything?"
I whispered. Cal shook his head, but I could tell he hadn't abandoned his caution. He lightly pushed the door open just enough for the both of us to slip through. He jerked his chin in the direction of the stairs, and I nodded. I loosened my dagger from my belt and gripped it tight. We quickly made our way to the stairs. I winced at every sound my boots made with each step I took. I made a mental note to myself that if I survived this, I'm going to buy some shoes better used for stealth. We crouched low behind a couch draped in a white sheet. Cal put a finger to his lips. I paused when I heard it too. I moved to the edge of the couch, and that's when I saw a tall, hooded figure enter the lobby. They were an enormous hulk of a being, their face partially covered. They pulled something from their black cloak and held it in front of them, and a woman's voice spoke through it.
"Any sign of the boy?"
Cal suddenly went rigid, as still and tense as if he'd been turned to stone. I frowned and mouthed a "what?", but he didn't reply.
"No, sir,"
the hooded figure said. Their voice sounded deep, but it didn't sound completely masculine.
"Sean managed to shoot Callus before he was killed. He won't be shifting anytime soon. We followed the trail of blood to the hotel. I believe he's still in the building with the boy."
I glanced over at Cal. How are we going to get out of here? I whispered.
I'm working on it.
Cal growled, but his voice was more pain than anger.
Search the building. I want them found.
The woman said.
Yes, sir.
The hooded figure placed the device back in their cloak and made their way into the hallway opposite to where we were hiding. Cal nudged me and motioned for me to follow him. We entered the lobby. It was spacious, with a large crystal chandelier in the center. Cal closed the doors quietly with a click. After I heard the lock engage, I leaned against one of the chairs and released a breath I hadn't realized I'd been holding. Cal pointed over to the door to where a black car was parked. Still running, but there was no one inside.
You see that car?
He said. Wait, is that your plan? I asked.
You got a better one?
No, but...
Follow me.
Before we could reach the other side of the lobby, the doors blew outward. Framed in the doorway was the hooded figure with their hood down. At first glance, I had almost mistaken the figure to be an Uruk-hai, but I didn't think the figure was as hideous as the Tolkien's orcs from the films. It was a man, but he was corpse pale with black eyes. His silver hair was tangled up, stretched around his skull into a thick knot. He reached up behind him and clutched a large obsidian sword in his meaty hand. He turned to Cal, and his blue lips curled into a snarl.
There you are.
Cal gripped his sword.
Yikes, man. You should have kept your face hidden, because, honestly, you look like shit.
The man released an angry roar and lunged for him. The two of them came at each other with a clang of metal. They parried and thrust. Cal danced around the man with deadly grace. I didn't know that he was a skilled swordsman. I thought he only wanted the sword because it looked cool. The man, clearly annoyed that Cal apparently had just enough energy and stamina to withstand his attacks, reached out with his other hand and sent a chair towards Cal. Cal quickly dodged it, but it was just enough for the man to get an upper hand in the fight. Cal's footing shuddered under the weight of the blade. He had to use both hands on his sword just to keep the other's blade from piercing him. The man suddenly managed to send Cal sprawling several feet away. He stalked closer until he was just a foot from Cal, who was struggling to lift his blade. The man loomed over Cal like a giant. Cal moved, but this time he wasn't quite quick enough. I saw it coming. He was going to kill Cal if I didn't do something quick. With every ounce of strength I possessed, I sent a burst of power at the man. He had only a moment to glance over in my direction before he was suddenly launched into the nearest wall as easily as a child tossing a rag doll, the force of it knocking a hollow grunt from his lungs. I felt a sick sort of thrill run through me as I stared up at him. He still hovered a few feet above the floor. I curled my hands into tight fists and then slowly opened them. I only meant to rip the chandelier from the ceiling and crush him, be done with it. I had spent hours training with Cal, and I just wanted to get out of here. I put my hands together, and then I brought them down. There was a satisfying, wet pop. The monster's piercing howl sliced through the room, only for a few seconds, as my power ripped into his flesh and bones, starting from the top of his skull, almost straight through the middle of his body, in a spray of blood and gore. I suddenly released my hold on him, and I watched as the monster's body crumpled to the floor, like a puppet whose strings had been swiftly cut. I brought my hands up in front of me. Holy shit, I whispered.
Holy shit,
Cal said, as he glanced over at me like I had grown two heads. He opened his mouth to say something when we heard movement close by. We hurried towards the exit. I ducked down instinctively, my body ready for any gunshots. I risked a glance over my shoulder. I saw movement, and I cursed when I spotted two more hooded figures emerge from around the side of the building.
Gavin, let's go.
Cal yelled as he reached the passenger side door.
I threw myself into the car. My fingers fumbled with the keys still in the ignition, almost forgetting that the car was already on. I quickly pulled the car out of the parking spot just as the two of them reached the parking lot. They took out their weapons and rushed at us.
"Bring it, you sons of bitches,"
I yelled.
"Are you insane?"
Cal shouted.
"Probably,"
I laughed.
"Hey, 20 points if I hit one of them."
Before Cal could respond, I slammed my foot on the gas. One of them managed to dodge out of the way, but I felt something solid clip the side of the car.
"Oh my God, I think I hit one of them."
"I really hope so,"
Cal hissed. I made a quick glance over at him.
"Hey, are you okay?"
"No. The wound is closing, but my internal organs are taking a bit longer to fully heal. I need to focus on that right now. Just keep driving. We need to get as far away from this place as possible."
"Are you serious? Can't you do anything?"
Cal gritted his teeth and groaned.
"I can still fight if there's no other option, but I can't shift any parts of my body. Like I said, substance from the bullet is still in my system. I need to reserve what little power I have at the moment."
He reclined his seat with a pained grunt.
"I'm gonna need all my strength back if I expect to help you."
We were almost out of the town when a crack of thunder pierced through the sky above us. It was so sudden that I almost lost control of the car. We were just reaching a left turn when a thick tree branch tipped over and collapsed in front of us. I immediately slammed my foot on the brake. The force jerked us forward in our seats. I released a sigh of relief, but it only lasted a second before I spotted something crouched adjacent to the fallen tree. I leaned forward to get a better look. A sinuous, reverberating flutter tightened into goose flesh on the back of my neck, and my hands clutched the steering wheel. The figure stood up and came into the light, and removed their cloak and threw it to the side. It was a tall, slender black woman with sleek, shoulder-length black hair, dressed in a black and gray skin-tight bodysuit. Cal stiffened in his seat and whispered,
"Undusius."
"Who the hell is that?"
I asked.
"A problem,"
Cal replied, his voice thick with fear and anger.
"Back up, Gavin. Do it quickly."
He then cursed as she started to advance on us.
"Come on."
I pulled the car in reverse. The tires screeched. I glanced behind me just as another tree crashed into the road right behind us. Terror gripped me like a vice at the fact that we were trapped. The woman moved so inhumanly fast that she became nothing but shadow. She was next to me so suddenly that I had no time to react when she ripped the driver's side door open and pulled me out of the car. Her grip on my arm was like iron. Her smile was razor sharp, and she stared at me. Her demonic face rippled just beneath the surface.
"We finally found you," she grinned. "To be honest, I almost wasn't sure that that little trinket would work. I love it when I'm proven wrong."
Cal shouted something, and I looked over at him. He quickly came at her, his sword clutched tightly in his hands. The woman's head snapped in his direction, and her free hand shot out. Cal stumbled forward as his blade was wrenched out of his hands. She studied the weapon for a brief moment before she plunged it into the side of the car, breaking it in half with ease. Cal was launched backwards through the air. He landed against the tree with a sickening crack, and he went limp. The woman scoffed and turned her attention back to me.
"Harlan has been searching for you for a long time. He'll be quite pleased. I know I am. You're the prize that will help me win his favor."
The mention of my brother's name spoken from this demon's lips made something inside me burn with rage. It quickly coiled around my spine like a serpent, slithering up each vertebrae at a time, and I could feel my humanity peel from my flesh like snakeskin. My lips pulled back into a snarl,
and I stared into her black eyes. Real fear flashed across her face.
No,
she whispered.
You can't possibly.
The fabric of reality contorted and collapsed, and I couldn't tell where my body started and her body ended. The scenery around me dissolved away as I fell through an invisible psychic barrier and into a dark abyss.